So excited to be with y'all today and over the next 4 weeks. We're going to spend some time unpacking a lot of what we've been up to over the last weekend, focusing on this theme, three temptations every man faces. I just want to get a feel for the room this morning. How many of y'all were able to be with us this past weekend at the men's retreat, just by show of hands? Great. And how many of y'all weren't able to make it? Just so I can get a feel for that. Great. Well, we're going to be able to meet you where you're at, regardless of where whether or not you were there. But one of the things that we did over the retreat weekend, just like last year, is we created an opportunity for guys to open up anonymously, to talk about some of the challenges they're facing in their life. And that's what you're going to find on your tables is there's some cards there that guys in our church filled out, talking about if someone really knew me, here's something they would know about me. Just opening up a window into that. What I'd like for you to do is I'd like to see if we can go around the room and just have somebody at your table stand up and read out loud one of those cards that's at your table. So I'm going to put Jack on the spot because I know we can always count on you to read. And that'll give you all some time to get ready. I just want you to have a feel for some of the things that the men in our church are going through right now. So what I want to happen is for one person at each table to read one of those cards out loud. So here's what I'd like for y'all to do is, just as we get started, I want y'all to take a minute at your tables to say a prayer over the people behind the cards that are at your table. So if somebody's got those, you can just pray through them, or however you want to do that at your table. Take a couple minutes now, pray over those, and then once y'all are done, we will dial in for our study this morning. Father, we're coming to you now, and we're lifting up these men, not just the men in this room, but the men behind these cards. Lord, we are all carrying burdens in this broken world. We're praying that even today you would help us to see ourselves more clearly, see Jesus more clearly, see our sin and temptation more clearly, so that we might follow you more faithfully. And we ask this in Christ's name. Amen. If you've got a Bible with you this morning, we're going to spend our time in Matthew chapter 4, beginning in verse 1. So let's start making our way over there. And what I want to do today is introduce you to a new diagram and a new framework on the board that we're going to call the temptation triangle, the temptation triangle. And this is something I'd seen a version of this in a session I was in with a pastor out of Florida named Ken Witten, and I've taken some of the concepts we've been working through and done some adaptations to it, really to make it our own for the men here at Central. And what I hope it's going to do is that by the end of the time together today, it's going to create for you a framework for how to think about the way that Satan seeks to lead us astray in the Christian life as men. And so you'll see on the board there this temptation triangle that we're going to work our way through while we make our way through this passage this morning. So if you want to follow along with me, let's just read this familiar passage, the temptation of Jesus in the wilderness. It's Matthew 4. Here's what it says. Then Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. And after fasting 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungry. And the tempter came and said to him, "If you are the Son of God, command these stones to become loaves of bread." But he answered, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God." Then the devil took him to the holy city and set him on the pinnacle of the temple and said to him, "If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you, and on their hands they will bear you up, lest you strike your foot against a stone." Jesus said to him, "Again it is written, you shall not put the Lord your God to the test." Again the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory. And he said to him, "All these I will give you if you will fall down and worship me." Then Jesus said to him, "Begone, Satan. For it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve." Then the devil left him, and behold, the angels came and were ministering to him. So we see this passage here, and at the heart of this passage, Jesus faces three temptations. And it's the exact temptations we spent the retreat thinking about. These temptations we see here on the board of appetite, then approval, then ambition. So over the course of the retreat weekend, we talked about this reality, that appetite is grounded in the way that we seek satisfaction, that approval is grounded in the way that we seek significance, and that ambition is grounded in the way that we seek success. So what I want us to do is to work through this temptation triangle one temptation at a time. So you'll notice on the next slide here that the first of these temptations we're going to talk about is the temptation of the appetites. And at the core of the temptation of the appetites, it has a core energy or a core desire that Satan seeks to leverage to lead us astray. And the appetite or the energy that's underneath our appetite is that desire for satisfaction. So let's go to the next slide there, and you can see the way that that shows up on the screen there, that's the core. And that's precisely what we see here in the first temptation of Jesus, isn't it? I mean, look back verses 1 to 4, it plays it out. Think about what's happened. Jesus has just gone into his baptism, and in that baptism, he has been anointed by God, set apart as the second Adam, the new Israel. He goes out into the wilderness, he faces the temptation of Jesus, and where Israel fails, after the Exodus and before the Promised Land, he now succeeds. Every temptation they faced, he now faces, and he fulfills the covenant obligations. He carries it out. But the first of those temptations is this temptation of the appetites. How many days had it been since Jesus had eaten? That's right. Anybody think they can make it that long? I felt coming out of the retreat after eating so good, I felt like coming out of the retreat after eating so good, I wouldn't eat for days, and yet I find myself bellying right back up to it. It's not hard. And underneath that is this desire for satisfaction. It's the longing for and the desire for fulfillment, for enjoyment. And that's a good gift that God has given us. It's a good desire. The problem comes in when we seek satisfaction through forbidden fruit. And in this case, the forbidden fruit is the temptation to turn those stones into bread, to use for Jesus, to use his power for self-provision. That's at the core here, self-provision in order to bring about satisfaction. But I want you to notice something else. There's not just an energy to this, there's also an essence. At the essence of this temptation is it's a test of integrity. It's a test of integrity. When Satan comes to Jesus and tempts him with this, it's a question of, are you who you say you are? So look back with me. Notice in the text there, when Satan begins to speak to Jesus, look back at verse 3. What is the first thing he says to him? Before he tells him what to do, what is the first phrase he uses? If you are who you say you are, or in my translation, if you are the Son of God, it's a question of integrity. Are you truly going to live out who you claim you are? And that's the test that we face every time with this temptation of the appetites. This question of will we satisfy, seek satisfaction through forbidden fruit is, will we live the way that we claim we will live? Will we fulfill the things and find enjoyment in the way that we're supposed to? It's a test of integrity. And at the core of that test is an error or a lie that Satan is feeding us. And in this case, the lie underneath this temptation of the appetites is, I will never have enough. I'll never have enough. That's the lie that's there. I mean, and you can imagine why it is that Jesus would be particularly susceptible to that deception in this moment. 40 days, no food, nothing that's there. That's how we see this temptation playing out. I'll never have enough, so I better take what I can get now. And that's exactly the way that this temptation plays out in our lives. So we read some cards this morning. At least one of them mentioned the pull towards pornography. That's probably the easiest and most persistent temptation that many of the men in this room and in our church will face when it comes to the appetites, whether it's through pornography or some other form of lust. And what's happening with porn is the same thing that's happening in this first temptation, that the energy underneath it is this desire for satisfaction, but it's this pull to seek satisfaction through forbidden fruit, and it's a test of the integrity. Nobody's around. Nobody will know. You can clear that search history. You can lie to your accountability partner. You can create all the appearances you want that you are who you say you are, but your actions may not reflect it. And the lie underneath it, the error underneath it, is the same one here for Jesus. I'll never have enough. I'll never have enough sexual satisfaction. My wife never meets my needs. Or I'm never going to find that girl to marry that I can enjoy this in a way that reflects God's design. And so I better take what I can now because I'm unwilling to wait for God's good design for my life. That's underneath this first temptation. Right there, verses 1 through 4, the temptation of the appetites that we see on the triangle comes by seeking satisfaction. Now let's go to the next slide because we're going to jump into the second temptation that's there. This comes in verses 5 through 7, and this is the temptation of approval. Okay, and so this is the second one that shows up here. And at the essence, at the core of what this temptation is about is when we're seeking significance. And that's exactly what we see show up in this second temptation. So first temptation turns stones to bread. We get that one. That makes sense. That hunger, that longing, that seeking of satisfaction. The second one is a little bit more challenging to make sense of in our day and age, because essentially what Satan is saying is, hey, let's take you up to the top of the temple and let's put God to the test. Let's throw him down, throw yourself down and see if the angels will really come to protect you as God says they would. So if the first temptation is a temptation towards self-provision, this second temptation is a temptation towards self-protection. Okay, that's what he is calling on Jesus to do. Protect yourself. But think about this. It tells us there in the text, verses 5 through 7, that Jesus is in the holy city, Jerusalem. He's saying to go to the temple, take yourself upon it. Have any of you ever had the chance to visit Jerusalem before? Okay, if you haven't been there, the temple is located in one of the central portions of the city, one of the highest portions. It's one of the largest buildings. You couldn't get a more centrally located, centrally focused position for someone to take an action. He says, let's go to the center of the city, to the center of the action. Let's come to the top, throw yourself from there, and these angels will come to protect you. In other words, Satan is tempting Jesus to put himself in a situation where his essence, who he is now dependent upon a rescue that comes from others. In other words, he's saying, create a crisis for yourself that only others can get you out of. And at the heart of things, that's what approval is. It's the seeking of significance, the seeking of deliverance, the seeking of meaning from others. At the core of this temptation, the essence of it is identity. Where do we find our identity? Do we find it in the significance that God gives us, or do we find it in the significance that others give us? When Satan tempts Jesus to go on top of the temple and cast himself down, everybody could have seen that happen in the moment if it took place. He would have been the superhero of the day. That this man goes to the top, he casts himself down, and rather than crashing to his death, he is rescued, he is saved, he doesn't experience what we would all expect. And there would have been widespread amazement, affirmation, approval that would have come from that for Jesus. And you can see the way that that would appeal to someone who's intended to be the Messiah. You can make much of yourself. You can be made much of in the eyes of others through that action. That's why you'll see in this slide here that at the core of this temptation towards approval is that longing for significance. And that doesn't just show up in the life of Jesus in the second temptation. We see that in our own lives as well. I mean, just think about all the ways we seek to find significance. Maybe that's all the way back to your childhood where you're trying to carve out a niche amongst your peers in school and trying to find where you fit and how you can thrive and who do you value and whose opinion do you value. And guess what? We don't outgrow that when we're men, do we? I mean, think about some of the cards that were there. There was the one guy that was talking about seeking approval from others and how he feels like he's never enough even for his own wife. And so we hang on their words. When they praise us, we feel good. When they criticize us, we feel bad. When they ignore us, we feel even worse because we don't feel as if we matter. And our own hearts are carried about on the winds and the waves of the approval of other people. And at the core of that is the question of identity. Where do I find my identity? Where do I find my significance? And Satan knows that that's a place where he can tempt us. And the reason is because it's rooted in an error. It's rooted in a lie. And that lie with appetite is I'll never have enough. With approval, it's I'll never be enough. I'm never going to amount to anything. I'm never going to reach the significance I want. I need to go and claim it for myself. That's what he's tempting Jesus to do here with this second temptation. Now let's keep moving on and look our way down into verses 8 through 11 with this third temptation. And once I walk through this, we're going to press pause and give y'all a chance to talk around the table in just a minute. So at the heart of this third temptation is the temptation of ambition. And you'll notice on our screen here that the pull towards ambition is grounded in the energy or the desire for success. Success. So let's move to that next slide, that last slide here, so we can see the full temptation triangle built out. And again, these desires, these energies for satisfaction, significance, success, every one of them are God's gifts to us. They are good in and of themselves. The problem isn't the longing for success. That's embedded in us all the way back from Genesis chapter 1. God has given us a mission to seek, a purpose to pursue, and a desire to fulfill that, to find success in a mission, is hardwired into what it means to be made in the image of God. The problem comes in when we seek that through forbidden pathways. And that's exactly what we find showing up in this third temptation. So remember, Jesus has resisted turning stones to bread. He's resisted going up to the top of the temple. Now Satan tempts him at the heart of his messianic mission. Because what does he show him next? You look back there in verse 8 and notice what he does. He takes him to a very high mountain and he sees him all the kingdoms of the world. And what does he tell him? These can be yours. There's just one condition, right? What's the condition he gives them? How can these become Jesus's? You have to worship me. That's right. Well, think about it. At the heart of Jesus's purpose in coming to the earth, what is it? It's to become the king of the universe, to take all the kingdoms of this world and bring them under his authority. In other words, what Satan is telling Jesus is I can give you all the success you're looking for without the suffering. That you can bypass God's purpose for your life in achieving your own purpose for your life. That's the temptation. And that comes at this level of success. And so what is at the core or the essence of this temptation is the issue of inheritance. What the entire Old Testament promised and what the entire New Testament is showing us is that God one day would send a Messiah whose inheritance would be the nations. That he would restore what was broken in Eden. that he would put back together what was corrupted by sin, that he would reclaim and fulfill God's mission. And when he does that, he will receive an inheritance. And what will that inheritance be? An inheritance of nations, that all the kingdoms of the world will bow down. And what Satan is doing here is tempting him at the level of that inheritance. You can have everything you wanted without the cost, without the pain, without the death. So there's a sense in which one of my friends, when I've seen him teach through this passage, he talks about with these temptations that what's happening here in Matthew 4 is that Satan is not just seeking to tempt Jesus, but to adopt him. There's an adoption effort going on. He's saying, hey, remember, those first two temptations, the question is, if you are the Son of God, if you are the Son of God, then do this, do this. Now, in this third temptation, he doesn't use that phrase. And the offer is, why don't you become my son? Bow down and worship me, and I will give you the inheritance that I have. In fact, if you were to look at the parallel passage in Luke chapter 4, Satan is very clear that these kingdoms are in his possession. He has authority over them. He can offer the inheritance. All it takes is sonship, surrender, adoption. In other words, the way my friend likes to say it is there's a cosmic custody battle that's going on right here. And at the core of that battle is this error, is this lie. And in this case, the lie is, I'll never do enough. I'll never do enough. That there's nothing I can do, no success I can achieve, no accomplishment I can have that will ever fully satisfy me. That's the lie that Jesus makes, that Jesus receives here from Satan, to be clear. Jesus doesn't make lies. That's the lie that Satan makes to him, and it's the same lie that shows up in our lives. Just a little bit more. Just one more email. One more project. One more deal. One more trophy. There's never enough. We always want more. So notice on the screen here, this temptation triangle. We see appetite, approval, ambition rooted in satisfaction, significance, success. What I want you to do before we move to our tables is just spend a minute looking at these three temptations and asking yourself the question, if you had to rank them in your life, from where you find the most consistent temptation to maybe which one is the least persistent in your life, how would you order them? I know that may be hard for you. You're like, all of the above, all the time. Yes. But I want you to do your best right now, just on your own. Take 15 or 20 seconds, and if you're capturing notes, write down an order of 1, 2, 3 of which of these temptations you find most persistent in your life. So take a second to do that, and then I'll give you some instructions for your table conversation. All right, now that you got that order laid out, here's what I want you to do is just around the table, take a minute to, if you're willing to, share how you ranked that order for yourself and why it is that you put your temptations in that order. So y'all take some time doing that, how you arrived at that order and why, or how you ordered things and why you ordered it that way, and then I'll draw us back in and we'll keep working through our exercise here in just a minute. All right, guys. Hey, let me call you back. All right, so I just want to get a feel for the room by show of hands. What was your number one? How many of y'all put appetite as your top-ranked temptation? A handful of y'all. Okay. Who was approval? Okay, a big chunk of y'all. What about ambition? Okay, so probably for us in the room, it was approval number one, ambition number two, appetite number three. For me, I have found that the pull towards ambition is my number one temptation. And then from there, it moves to appetite and then approval. And that's going to be different in each case. How many of y'all found it hard to rank those? I know for me, I did. And I want to suggest a reason for why. And that's why I've recreated the diagram on the board here, is just to show you. It would be an oversimplification to say that when Satan tempts us, he keeps things isolated to just one temptation. If one is good, more is better, right? And so what I want to suggest to you is that there is an interplay, an interchange that is often happening between these appetites. It's what I want us to think of as the temptation cycle. The temptation cycle. That one appetite, one desire, one temptation can feed another. And that the way that this often shows up is in one of two ways. That the cycle of temptation moves either through escape or through embrace. Now, what am I talking about? Let's think it through together. Let's start here with approval, since that was the most common answer in the room. So that a temptation towards approval, that longing for significance, seeing your identity in the way others see you rather than the way God sees you. Let's see how that temptation cycle can start here and drive us in other directions, either through escape or embrace. So if you're in a season of your life where you're finding the temptation, that pull towards significance, a significant part of the way that Satan's tempting you, what happens if you're seeking approval and you don't get it? That's when you start to feel that sense of despair, that sense of discouragement. And what happens is you're going to respond to that through escape. When I can't find approval from others, when I can't find my significance, I'm not going to stay there. I'm going to seek to escape that terrible feeling of insignificance it gives me. So one way we might do it is by following the temptation cycle, by escaping to the appetites. And how might that show up? Well, if I can't get affirmation and approval and significance from others, guess what I know I can do? I can escape from that to the appetites, because I can go to a screen and watch women who will give me all the attention I want, all the affirmation I need. They will make me feel more significant than anybody in the world, and they're always ready to do it. And when that longing for approval, I escape it through the appetites, all of a sudden I'm not feeling that hollow sense of insignificance that's here, because for that fleeting moment, I have now found significance through the satisfaction that comes through forbidden fruit. You see how it feeds that direction? But think about how it can also show up in the other direction, that when we're not getting approval, then we can, instead of turning the appetite, sometimes we might turn towards ambition instead. If people aren't respecting me, affirming me, building me up, approving of me, expressing the significance I think I deserve, then what that's going to mean, I'm just going to throw myself into my work. I'm going to chase success, because if I can finally get here, if I can finally accomplish the things that I think I can, then guess what's going to happen? Then the approval is going to come. Once I have the success, maybe they will finally affirm me, see me for who I truly am. So notice, it may start here, but it doesn't stay here. It can move towards ambition. It can move towards appetite. And that's true for every one of these temptations. We either seek to escape or to embrace. So let's think about this idea of embrace for a little bit. Maybe if your pull, like me, is towards ambition, that longing for success, and you embrace that, you buy into that, you've got this conquering mentality, then what happens is when you lean into that heavily, it's going to foster a desire for recognition and affirmation and approval from others. To not just say, my success is enough, I want people to see it and affirm it. Or it might push you to embrace it towards appetite, where you say, if I can conquer at work, if I can conquer at home, then I can conquer on the screen. I can be successful in satisfying my desires, even if it happens in ways that aren't pleasing to God. Do you see the cycle? Do you see how they feed off each other? That's one of the reasons why you had so much of a challenge differentiating and determining which of these you would wrestle with the most. Now, as we start to move towards the end of our session this morning, I want to go back to the chart that we had on the other side of this board. So we see the temptation cycle there. But I want you to notice something. That when Jesus is tempted in the wilderness with these three temptations, that he is not experiencing something that's unique to him. In fact, this cycle of temptation has been echoing down all the way from Eden. So we're not going to turn there and unpack it this morning, but we can all think back to the temptation of Adam and Eve in the garden. You remember that in Genesis chapter 3? And when Eve sees the tree, she looks at that forbidden fruit, and as Satan is whispering deception in her ear, the text tells us three things appealed to her about it. That it was good for food, a delight to the eyes, and desirable to make one wise. And what I want to suggest to you this morning is that the same three temptations that Jesus experiences here are the same three temptations that Eve experienced in the garden, and that shows us the universal way that those same three temptations show up in your life. So think about it. When the text tells us, Genesis 3, she looks at the fruit and she realizes that it is good for food, that's a temptation of the appetites. Okay? She needs food. She needs to satisfy her hunger. And Satan seeks to tempt her in that way. But then it goes on and says it's a delight to the eyes. That's at the essence of what approval is. We want to be a delight to the eyes of others, that they would delight in us. She delights in this fruit in the same way we long for others to delight in us. There's an approval at the core of the temptation. And then think about ambition, that it's desirable to make one wise. In other words, you can be more successful in life. You can be more able to live in accordance with the way the world has been created. That's at the heart of that temptation. And there's an echo down through the ages that finds its culmination in this text. But I want you to see the way that Jesus meets these temptations with what we're going to call here an escape. You notice we left this column blank. And before we read that, can somebody flip over to 1 Corinthians 10:13 and just read that loud enough for everybody who's in the room? Who's got that for me, that scripture passage? Anybody up for reading that? All right, go ahead, Sherman, nice and loud. He will provide you a way of what?
Escape.
Okay? Now, oftentimes when we think about escape, we hope it's an escape from the temptation. Often it's an escape through the temptation. You know the difference between the two? An escape from something means that before you ever even encounter the depths of it, you are rescued from it. That's like somebody who's about to enter into a burning building that they don't realize is burning, who somebody comes and grabs them and rescues them and pulls them to safety before they even encounter the danger. Far more often in our temptations, we're like the guy that's already trapped in the burning building, and we don't know if we're going to make it. And what we don't need is an escape from the burning building. We need an escape through it. We need a deliverance from it. That's the kind of picture that Jesus is giving us here, and Paul is talking about there in 1 Corinthians 10:13. So I just want you to see at each step the way that Jesus meets the error with an escape. So we'll see that back in the first temptation in Matthew chapter 4, verse 4. Will somebody reread Matthew 4, 4 for us?
But he answered, it is written,
There we go. So he meets that temptation towards self-provision with Scripture. And each one of these passages is from Deuteronomy. And Jesus is appealing to God's word as the basis for his holiness. God's word drives our holiness. And there, it's a reminder to himself and to Satan that you're tempting me to seek self-provision rather than God's provision. And what he is saying here is when you lie to me and say I'll never have enough, there's a reminder from God's word that God is enough for me, that he is the true and lasting satisfier. That's the way of escape that he gives us there in the pull towards the appetites. But let's notice in the second temptation, will somebody reread chapter 4, verse 7? Let's see how he responds to that temptation towards approval.
Jesus responded, "The scriptures also say, do not test the Lord your God."
Okay. So again, coming out of Deuteronomy, do not put the Lord your God to the test. And so what Jesus is reminding himself and Satan is that my significance doesn't come when I create a crisis that others can rescue me from, that others can affirm me through, that others can show me my own significance and validate me. Instead, my significance comes from God, and that I do not put him to the test. You know, it's like, I'm sure this never happened in your home, but your wife puts on a new outfit and asks how she looks in it. You ever been there before? And the pull is, she is looking for affirmation, approval. Is she valued in your eyes? But at the heart of it, and not in a deceptive, dishonoring way like Satan is doing here, to be clear, she is putting you to the test. It's a test of approval. And Jesus upends that. We're all pulled towards that longing for approval, and he upends it by telling us, do not put the Lord your God to the test. That's the way of escape here when it comes to approval. Notice the last one down in chapter 4 and verse 10. So Satan takes him up on the mountaintop. He shows him the kingdoms of the world. How does Jesus respond? Will somebody read 4:10 for us? Okay. Worship the Lord your God and serve him only. Jesus meets this longing for success, this crisis of inheritance, this lie that I'll never do enough, and he meets it by recognizing what Satan is doing and confronting it. He knows that when Satan tempts him with the kingdoms of the world, it is a test of worship. It's not just a test of obedience, but a test of worship. It's not just what he'll do with his hands, what he'll decide with his head, but what will happen with his heart. Will he find his success in a way that bypasses God's design for his life or embraces it? And we face that same pathway of escape in our own lives as well. So in just a minute, I'm going to have the guys show a video that I'll queue up in just a moment. That'll close out our time. But here's how we're going to do things. I just want to do a few wrap-up things. I want to frame up a discussion question for your table, and then we're going to watch the video. And once the video's over, y'all can have that discussion around your table. Feel free to stick around as long as you want or take off as soon as you need. But just think about all the ground we've covered today. We've looked at this temptation triangle. And the way that through this chart, we've got a framework for how Satan works in our life through appetite, seeking satisfaction through forbidden fruit, approval, seeking significance through forbidden sources, ambition, seeking success through forbidden pathways. And those didn't originate in the wilderness with Jesus. They date all the way back to the Garden of Eden, and then they've showed up all the way through humanity's experience in this fallen world. And as we looked at on the other side of the board, there's that temptation cycle where each of these temptations is feeding one another. And what I want you to think about as we watch this video in just a moment is, what's one takeaway for you today as you look at this? What's something that struck you in a new way or a fresh way this morning that you could share with some of the other guys that are here. We'll talk about that in just a minute. But before we get to the video, a couple of wrap-up things. Number one, we'll be back next week. We've got three more weeks. And what we're going to do over the coming 3 weeks is just take 1 week at a time to dive in at a deeper level with each of these temptations, one item at a time. So next week, we'll jump to appetite. The week after that, approval. The following week, ambition. And just do a deep dive on what it is that Satan's at work on so we can fight the good fight more faithfully. I also want to put out an invitation to y'all. I'm going to head up to Copy Bridge for lunch today at 11:30, the one that's right here by the church. I just thought it'd be fun to hang out with some of y'all, just keep the fellowship and the conversation going today. So let me put y'all on the spot. Does anybody have a sense if they might even be free for lunch today, just so I can have a feel for how many people might be able to join us at the table? Who's up for some lunch at 11:30 today? All right, I got at least you, Randy. Okay, there's a couple of y'all here. The invitation is open. If you can adjust your schedule and plans to make it, we'd love to hang out. Sorry for the short notice, but I just thought it'd be a fun way to stay connected with one another. And then the last thing that I'll mention is if you're taking notes, I need you to write this down. Write down the date, February 24th, okay? February 24th. We spent a lot of time over the weekend in the retreat investing in you as men. We're going to get to do that the next four Thursday mornings. But on February 24th, that is a date that we are carving out for the women in our church. We've got an amazing opportunity to host one of my favorite women's leaders around the country. Her name is Christine Hoover. Some of y'all know Christine because her and her husband, Kyle Hoover, were with us at Central. Kyle was our college minister back when I was a student here and on staff. She's coming in to speak on the 24th to the ladies of our church. It's almost like a women's stakeout style event. So our men's stakeout, it's like the first time we're going to try something like that for women. Let's feed them a meal. Let's have a quality speaker. And one of the ways that you can serve your family well is by creating space on the 24th for your wife, if you're married, to be able to come and join us on that night. So there'll be more information flowing out to the women there, but that'll just be a good step you can take to show some leadership in your home and create that opportunity for her to come. So what we're going to do now is turn our attention to the video. Then y'all can have that table discussion and you'll wrap up. Maybe you've seen this video before. It's a clip from an old Promise Keepers rally that took place several decades ago. It's by an African-American pastor named E.V. Hill. And in this portion of the video, he's talking about this temptation cycle we see right here in Matthew 4 and the way that Jesus shows us a pathway towards victory in that temptation. So let's watch the video now, and y'all enjoy some table conversation after that.
Jesus did not show the devil his glory because we don't have no glory. I go my my vest right here. Nobody won't be blown away. Jesus did not say, devil be done, because I couldn't have said it. Jesus had to do something that everybody in here can do. And I'm fixing to give it to you right now because I want you to use it tonight. I want you to use it tomorrow. I want you to use it tomorrow night. I want you to use it for the rest of your life. Jesus said, devil, it is written. It is written. That's what he said. It's written. In other words, Jesus went to the book of Deuteronomy and came out with scripture. And every time the devil opened his mouth, Jesus threw scripture in his mouth. He came back at him again and he said, devil, it is written. Man shall not live by bread alone. It is written. Thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. He hit him over and over and over with the scripture. And guess what happened? The devil ran. And guess what you can do beginning tonight? You don't have to take it. You don't have to take his mess. You don't have to take his stuff. Hit him. It is written. When the devil comes up and says, how do you know you've been saved? You are not saved. Yes, I am saved. Hit him. If thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Hit him, hit him, hit him. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Hit him. There is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. Hit him. How are you going to make it? My God shall supply my every need. How are you going to go through? The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. It's written. It's written. It's written. It's in the book. It's in the Bible. All you have to do is take out your Bible and say, where are you, devil? Come on, devil. Let's get it on. Let's get it on. Hit him. Hit him. Hit him. Let's get it on. He's defeated. Our Lord is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Hit that devil with the word. Hit it!